Good morning. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Some years ago, we preached through this book. I guess I did. If you remember, there was a lengthy discussion about teachers and gifted people in the church. And if you look there at the beginning of chapter 3, he says, "I couldn't address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" And he goes on to argue, and we'll see that a little bit more, but these men are all servants of God. To pick and choose one of them is missing the point. We're crediting God for the growth that happens by whichever servant it is. It makes no difference. Paul says in our text today, let's look there now and we'll read it. This is verse 10 through 23, the end of the chapter. "According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each take care how he builds upon it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple, and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, 'He catches the wise in their craftiness.' And again, 'The Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile.' So let no one boast in men, for all these things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Amen. In this discussion of in Corinth, you know, there's lots of problems there. We like to pick on Corinth as a problem child church, and there were some definite issues there, but I'm thankful because we have this letter, and it's very informative. If they didn't have so many problems, we wouldn't have this. I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that in the context of these folks saying, "I prefer Edward over Bill," or "I prefer Bill over Edward," in that context, Paul's like, "You guys are missing the point. They're both serving God. Be blessed, be thankful to God that he's working among you. Picking and choosing the servants of God, this is not sensible." And that's what he's arguing here. He says, yes, by the grace of God, verse 10, "Like a master builder, I laid the foundation, and someone else is building upon it. Let each one take care how he builds." It's not that Paul is so wise and so good, and he knows how to lay the foundation better than someone else. It's according to God's grace that he was able to do it well. He says it straight up. according to the grace of God, I built well, and others are building upon it. But the foundation that he taught is not according to the wisdom of the world, the high logic of the philosophers, the teachings of Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Paul taught, listen, this is very simple. Paul taught that Jesus Christ was put on a tree with nails and killed as a substitute for sin. That is the foundation that he laid everywhere he went. Repent, the day of the Lord is at hand. He has sent a substitute. And as the Lord blessed and churches are established, the foundation is as solid foundation as can be. Jesus, crucified for sin and accepted by God as a substitute for sin. This is the foundation of the Christian faith. And listen, if you've not believed yet, it's going to be hard for you to build, as we're going to go through the rest of this sermon, build on the foundation of Christ crucified if you've not yet believed in Christ. I appeal to you, believe. God's command has gone out into the whole world. Repent. Believe the gospel. Listen, don't judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. The time is wide open. Believe and be saved. And listen, there's no other foundation either. You guys know this, but as Eric said this morning, reminder, people have been reminding about the foundational truths of the Christian faith for 2,000 years. One person to the next generation to the next generation. There's no other foundation that's suitable. The foundation of Buddhism or Islam, Hinduism, all of that, Paul says, no, there's no other foundation. Everything else might have an appearance of solid ground, but it's sinking sand. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, they're going to wake up from that dream and be very disappointed. There's many people in this country, you know this and I know this, that claim to be very smart. If we think about their knowledge of biology and chemistry, physics, rocket science, anything else that's the subject of higher learning in this country, those people are educated well. But listen, it doesn't matter how many books you read, they cannot be a substitute for the foundation of Jesus. Education, listen, faith is not a means to accomplish your goals in life. And it'll help you if you go to church, it'll help you, you'll be a well acquainted citizen, you'll know how to relate to people. I mean, that's true, but your education should be a means to strengthening your faith, that you can understand deeper concepts of God because you've learned how to learn over many, many years. In this country and in the world, because they are confused about what is really, really valuable, their faith becomes a stepping stone to accomplish some other thing. The end is not their faith. If that's you, please change your mind about that. I like education, and I'm glad that people are smart, and I have a computer that somebody figured out how to make. I'm thankful for it. But because he knows how to make a processor, it's not a replacement for the foundation of Jesus. In fact, if you were to poll the, quote, very, very smart people in the world, does their education lead them toward Christ or away? You'll see that the percentage, as people get more and more educated, it's not positive as it relates to faith. And parents, let me give you a note. I know most of you, your children are older, but listen, We must emphasize Jesus ahead of all worldly wisdom. We have to. This is very challenging to me. I need to do better about this with my own children. It's all that matters, really. Right? If you raise a child who drops out of high school, and I'm giving a terrible example, but is just a dumb person their whole lives, but they believe in Jesus, which one would you rather have? The one who goes and graduates from Yale with a PhD in philosophy and is lost? And I know those are, I know that we want both, right? We want a smart kid and a believer. But emphasize Christ before and above all other teachings on this world, in this world. So Paul's talking about, in the context of them picking and choosing which teacher they like better, but he's really going on to a different discussion, saying, really, this is the work that's happening. We're laying the foundation of Jesus, and the rest of us are building on the foundation of the church. Each one of our individual lives, yes, we're all saved, and the Spirit's with us, but collectively, we are building on the temple of God, the foundation of Christ. He says that there in verse 11. No one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, verse 12, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it'll be revealed by fire. He says, I laid the foundation, others are building on it. But I don't think the idea here is about how each one of you is building on the foundation of Christ in your own lives, even though we are doing that, but I don't think that's what he's talking about. He's talking about, I think, that the bigger goal of the work of the church, I've laid the foundation here. Other people are building on it, and he seems to be cool because they're all servants of God. I really think it's not so much how individual believers build up their faith in their own lives, but how we're working in the church. And he's teaching the Corinthians, especially the teachers there, consider what you're using as you build up the church. What kind of materials are you using when you're building upon the foundation of Christ? Gold, silver, precious stones, these are things that would remain after a fire, right? Way before wood, hay, or straw would. I mean, those would go up in an instant, right? He says that there is a day, the day, in the future, and God is going to judge how the builders did. How did they do building upon the foundation of Christ? How did they do? What type of materials did they use? How did they build up the church? Did they use the sure things of His Word? Or did they use smoke and mirrors? I'd like to say that I could draw a huge crowd if I used smoke and mirrors, but I don't think I could. I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. But people are. In some ways, it's very discouraging that you'll see a church. I'm not judging any particular church, but from the outside, it looks like a whole lot of fluff. And people are just coming in droves. They can't get enough of it. That's sad. But I pray God will teach them and have mercy on them anyway. What type of materials do you use to build up the church? Think about your work in the church. Did you know that you are all builders? You are building. You've been here for 25 years. You've been building upon the foundation of Christ in this church for 25 years. What kind of materials have you been using? Do you pray for each other? I think that's gold right there. Are you bearing one another's burdens and forgiving one another? These are costly stones. These things will be tested by fire, but they'll remain, Christian. You teach one another, and in humility consider your brothers better than yourselves, your sisters. You comfort one another. You confess your sins one to another. Do you disciple and teach others? These are not fluff items. These are not hay and straw. These are the basic and the best building blocks of the church. Pray for one another. It's in all the letters. Every church. Pray for one another. We're praying for you. Pray for us. Pray for one another. Don't build the church with human philosophy and speculation and emphasize things that are not emphasized in the scriptures. For example, we are a homeschool only church. You're missing the point. It's not emphasized in the scriptures. You might have a valid point. I like homeschool, but listen, that is building up on the church in a wrong way. We are a KJV only church, the authorized version. No. That is not building on the church with costly stones and precious gems. That is majoring on things that are... Really, we're going to argue about which translation is the best one? Are they Greek scholars? They don't know. If we're going to build the right way, build on the things that the apostles emphasize. Love, humility, repentance, compassion, kindness. These things will stand up to the flame of God's judgment. It is God's will for us to be kind to one another. And you will not regret being kind. When the heat of God's judgment comes upon the building that we've done, you will not regret that you considered your brother better than yourself. But other things, you can fill in the blanks, but other things that are not emphasized in the scriptures, or even that are contrary to the scriptures, will be burnt up and shown to be poor workmanship. If you think about this building, I was not here when this building was built, but I know how big buildings are built, and they dig holes in the ground deep and pour concrete in them, piers all around to support a massive structure on top of it. If it's not deep enough and sure enough, when they put weight on it, it's going to sink and collapse on either side. You've seen this. This happens in Texas a lot because the dirt is always moving around. If they were to build this massive foundation and then just put a pop-up tent on top of it, right? And say, come on, it's time for worship. They just have a big tarp. It's not fitting, right? That, after such effort was put into that foundation, this is what you're going to build on top of it? If you think about the foundation of Christ, listen, this is a sure foundation, right? The wind and the waves pounded upon that house, but it did not fall because it was built upon a rock. Jesus is the rock. If we're going to build upon that foundation, listen, the foundation of Christ can support a massive structure, a number that no man can count, the scriptures say. How will we build on that? We ought to be very careful and skilled and build it with costly stones and gold and silver. Verse 14, if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So some will build carefully and skillfully and be rewarded as faithful servants. Others will not build well and suffer loss. I don't think the point here is that they're not saved. I think the whole point of this is the foundation is already laid. They have that. But some will build well and some will build poorly. And the ones who build poorly, the fire will reveal it. And they will suffer loss. I don't know what that means exactly. But listen, if we want an application, we want our church to be acceptable to God, don't we? And as we're building, we want Him to be pleased with it. And we want it to pass the test. We have to build in a right manner and in a way that's fitting for such a good foundation. We have to. Jesus is perfect and spotless. He's redeemed us. He wants it to be beautiful. Verse 16, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. He's talking about the dangers of unholy living and polluting the temple of God. Again, I know that we could call ourselves individually temples of God if the Holy Spirit dwells there. But I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I still think it's collective. Don't you know? You are the temple of God. If you destroy the temple of God, be careful. The Lord... The building of the temple of God, the bride of Christ, if we want to add in a different metaphor, it's very important to God. If we destroy the temple by teaching or living in such a way that contradicts Scripture and tear down and destroy the people of God who are the temple, watch out. Verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks he's wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he might become wise. For the wisdom of the world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. Verse 20, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Listen, do you know why God can catch the wise in their craftiness? Because he knows everything. And when he sees it, he's like, you're not fooling me. This friend of mine, a little dog, he loved a tennis ball. You could throw this thing anywhere, the dog would go get it. And he would put the ball on a rug and like scratch and try to cover the ball with the rug, like no one could see it anymore. And he would just sit there. When I think about this, the Lord catches them in their craftiness, I think about that. The so-called wise are doing that, and God's going, so silly. I see clearly. It's right there. This is Paul's going back to his original point here, I think. Don't trick yourself into thinking that salvation can come by worldly wisdom. The wisdom of man cannot fool God. He has decreed that salvation comes by Jesus only. And some people want to say, well, what about people who lived in Africa that have been living there even at in the age of Jesus, or the 100 years, 200 years after Jesus, before the gospel reached them? And I say, well, if you read the scripture, there's salvation in no one else. But it seems like a diversionary tactic. You've heard. Believe in the Lord. If I could tell you those people went to heaven, does that somehow crack the door open that you can get into without believing in Jesus? There's only one foundation. And that's Jesus. the thoughts of the, quote, wise, they are useless and ineffective to bring a right knowledge of God. What they need is grace. What they need is the gospel. They need the church to teach them. Verse 21, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. There's no need to boast in men and pick one or the other. They all belong to you. You're part of, they are part of the temple, you're part of the temple. I wish and pray that God would help us to get a clear vision of this. I may miss some of the details in this, but I heard this story. Just listen. They were having a shopping spree at the mall. And they go to the mall. They have 10 minutes to run through there and grab whatever they can in 10 minutes. And the one guy doesn't go in. He goes, hey, aren't you going to run in? You can get whatever you want. He's like, my dad owns the mall. I can take whatever I want anytime. Do you see the point? The world belongs to God. And we belong to God. It's ours. All the good teachers that we say, oh, I wish he was my preacher. He's yours. Listen to him. Be blessed by him. There's no need to pick sides. They're all for the church. They're all building. And there might be some that you like better than others because of preference. It's fine. But if Christians, listen, if we could get a view of this, that everything that's in the world, all of it, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all. The present is ours. The future, we are going to live forever. The future, it's ours. We have laid hold of it because Christ laid hold of us. People who are redeemed by the blood of Christ, no more boasting in men. They're servants of God. Glory in God. He's given us all that we need. All the servants, these apostles, we're reading their letters right now. God gave them to us. They're ours. Elders, deacons, singers, they're ours. God has given them to us to build up the temple. Everything belongs to us. Life, even in death. Listen, we are more than conquerors, the scripture says. Romans chapter 8. Verse 37, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What materials are you using as you build in the church? Maybe you hadn't thought about it before. You are a builder in the church. What kind of materials are you using? I know lots of things that y'all are building, and they're beautiful. They're costly stones. They're made of gold and silver. Let's keep doing that. Let's keep doing that. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the letter to the Corinthians. Thank you for preserving it for our use. Thank you for giving us teachers and servants and singers and writers that we've had for hundreds and hundreds of years. Thank you, Lord. Would you help us to be careful and cautious that we wouldn't boast in men and pick and choose? They all are ours. Pray that you'd help us as we build in this church, Father. Help us to build well. Bless this body. Bless us the rest of our time today, that we might be encouraged and built up in the most holy faith. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.